Thank you, Christy. Beautiful song. Everybody doing okay on this Palm Sunday? I feel a little shaky. I have a Baptist minister sitting right in front of my nose here. And right typing note, am I right? No, not today. Glad to have you, Reverend Cole, as always, and your family. When I was writing down the topic of this message, it was easy. And sometimes that's the easiest part as you're working on your sermon, to write down the title, which is the Palm Sunday Road. Because we are talking about the road Jesus took. And as a matter of fact, when we take another look at it, it is also the road that we should take. Now, our gospel reading comes from Luke 19, 28 to 40, because that's just my favorite Palm Sunday narrative. Comparing to Luke 21, you could also read it from the Luke 21 and the first 10 verses, I believe, of the chapter. Now, Luke is just more specific. I don't know whether his physician training has something to do with it, being more specific, more detailed in his presentation. But all the same narrative. Palm Sunday is more than just a day, though. Palm Sunday is more than just a Sunday among Sundays. Palm Sunday is the most important week in Jesus' life, and therefore the most important week of the year, the life of any Christian. This is the doorway into Easter week, Holy Week. So, Palm Sunday cannot be just a day of triumphant entry of Jesus, saying that we are celebrating the King Jesus. But it is the beginning of the suffering. As a matter of fact, the only crown this king will wear is thorns. So you get a right perspective what this Sunday really is all about. There are three major characteristics about Jesus we are to remember today. The first is humility. And the second is fulfillment. And the third is submission about his life. This is why Palm Sunday is also called the Sunday of the Passion. So let's pause here a little bit and think about Palm Sunday Road is a road of humility for Jesus. Road of humility. So this Sunday marks the day that Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We read about it. And the gospel writer explains the event so clearly to us. So Palm Sunday marked the beginning of the last week that Jesus would spend as a man on this earth among his disciples. Of course, disciples didn't know it. But it was all planned from above. So this Palm Sunday morning, I would like to take a look at the road which Jesus was riding on, as we see from the passage that is before us. Now, I know it's very human to us to make this story a little bit more colorful. By the way, Luke Templin, as always, did a wonderful job with children. But I was going to ask Luke, where did he go for seminary? Because he make little changes. Nowadays, you don't never know where you get your seminary education. But we like to see our heroes make a grand entrance. Of course, whether they are hockey players or soccer players or basketball players or football players or entertainers, we like to see them come in big time on the stage. But here the King of Kings chooses the road of humility. road of humility. He's not come riding into town on white stallion, but on the back of the colt of a donkey. And it wasn't even his donkey, but it was a borrowed one, somebody else's donkey. So this reflects the life of Christ Jesus, which was a life of humility, humbleness, humility. When Jesus spoke of his kingdom, he spoke in terms of it begins one of service and servanthood and one of humility. This would be a great lesson as it is to us to learn, and for many others we are thinking about this morning. What is interesting is on the last night that Jesus spent with his disciples, you think about this, only hours before he was to die, he was to be nailed to the cross, and disciples were arguing what they were arguing about, who would be the greatest in the kingdom. This is almost a place that you can say in the Bible, when you are reading the narrative, you can say, give me a break, will you? After all they've been through, after all that intense one-on-one training about the secret of the kingdom, about love and mercy, about sacrifice that Jesus had been preparing for them, So here they are arguing over which of them is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, as it would be the first and most important thing for them to think about. Now, Luke says about this in the chapter 22, verse 24. He says, now there was also a dispute among them, disciples, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. But don't laugh too much about them, because this is sometimes very close to us as well. Am I right? Very close. After all they had been through with Jesus, they just still didn't get it. They simply didn't understand that the road Jesus has traveled on was a road of humility. And it's the road that he requires his disciples to travel on. Let me ask you this, friends, here in the sanctuary, and friends who are worshiping with us through Facebook and YouTube, are you traveling as a Christian believer? Are you traveling on the road of humility? Do you know what humility is all about? Is your Christian life characterized with humility rather than anything else? I think sometimes we lose thought of that ourselves. We love and desire the blessings of God, but do we really want to follow Jesus on this road of humility? Friends, it is not easy road. It is difficult road. It is challenging road. To follow Jesus means going down that road, the road of the cross. Some of you know more about this than some others. What does it really mean to follow Jesus after all? It means giving up our selfish desires. It means denying ourselves. It means putting anything else but God first in our lives. Do you think it's easy? No, it's difficult. Putting others first before yourself, do you think it's easy? No, it's difficult. Too often, too much to be asked from us if this is easy or if it is difficult. The road of humility is the road that says, I will live like Jesus lived, and I will strive to be conformed to his likeness, to his image. I want to be like Jesus. So this Palm Sunday road is a road of humility, a road that we are called to follow Jesus on. Now, secondly, Palm Sunday road, according to reading, is a road of fulfillment. Now the other Palm Sunday Gospel in Matthew 21, verses 4 to 5, says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." That was predicted. That was being prophesied few days before Jesus entering, few hundred years before. Remarkable thing. The fact that Jesus enters Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey is not just by chance or good luck. That fact that the colt was right there where Jesus mentioned it's going to be, it is not just a lucky guess from Jesus. Happened to be that way, no. But it was all part of fulfilling the divine plan of Almighty God. That is what the Bible is all about. Now, Zechariah, prophet, in chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." How accurate description. I watched a TV program some time ago where there's two theologians coming from different denominations, nations, talking about this very narrative of the Bible. And the other one believes it is not accurate because the other narrative gives you a reason that Jesus was riding on two donkeys at one time. And I was wondering myself, who really is the donkey here in this conversation? Not the one in the Bible. And I got a feeling that he was about to lose his faith because Bible is not to be trusted. Because it doesn't clear message. How many donkeys were there? Again, one of these places that you can see, give me a break, will you? Even Jesus is Jesus, he chose to ride on one donkey at a time. Not on two donkeys. You see, if there's a mummy donkey and there's a baby donkey, guess what? Who is following? There's training going on. Mummy teaching baby donkey how to do and how to serve. This is just one of the many prophecies here that we see in the Old Testament concerning Jesus. In fact, there are some 332 prophecies in the Old Testament which are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That is really amazing, isn't it? The mathematical odds of all is this. The prophecies being fulfilled by one man is just about unreal, but it is true. What it shows is that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, foretold of the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, that God will be bring past the mighty plans and salvation through him, through his sacrifices on the cross. And then last, Palm Sunday Road, the road we are talking about this morning, is a road of submission. Submission means Jesus submitted his life to his heavenly Father to fulfill the plan. Submission to the Father, obedience to the Father. Notice verses 6 to 8 again, Gospel of Matthew. "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt to Jesus, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them, and on very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road." This is the celebration that took place that day in Jerusalem. Jesus is our Lord and Savior's whole life was to submit his life to the Heavenly Father. Jesus' first loyalty was to the Heavenly Father, to hear and to obey his name. Jesus says in John 3:38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Being obedient to his Heavenly Father. So Jesus is, today we remember, Jesus' purpose was to do the will of God. Are you committed to do God's will in your life? Remember, a few days after his entry into Jerusalem, Jesus finds himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to the Father. The Bible says he went on a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, Father." Jesus prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me." This is how difficult it was for Jesus to submit his life to the Heavenly Father. He prays that God would, if possible, take it away. If possible. If there's any reason for me to misunderstand this, but Lord, Father, it is your will, thy will be done. But Jesus ends his prayer, as we should end our prayers, not as I will, but as you will, my Father. Complete submission to the will of the Father. Let us pray not for our own selfish wills to be accomplished, but let us pray that God's will be done and that his name be glorified. You think that's easy for us? No, it is not. Notice that these disciples obeyed him, obeyed Jesus. They were told where and how to get the colt. They probably thought it was a strange assignment, really. But they did it anyway. They obeyed. They submitted to Christ. And the Lord needs was the only answer if somebody happened to ask, where are you taking my donkey? Let them know the Lord needs. Well, of course, this is not to be followed if you are missing a ride and you see that there is extra car on your neighbor's driveway. You go walk by and you get on it and you drive away. And if they ask where you're taking my car, you say that, well, the Lord needs it. There are more practical ways for you to get transportation. But still coming down for us doing God's will, the Lord needs it. Have you been working on sometimes little weird assignment? I've been there many times. And I keep on asking questions for myself. What am I doing? What I'm doing? Is there any reason or point whatsoever on this, what I'm doing? And then the only answer you get, the Lord wants you to do this. The Lord wants you to do this. Let me share an example. Back in Helsinki, in the church I was serving, there was a how should I put my words? Get pretty decent. Let me say, he was a very difficult person. He was a retired choir director. Was a widow. He didn't have reason to be difficult. He was a retired choir director, but he happened to be that way. Every time when he was standing in front of the choir, he was like a heaven-sent man. But after that, you know, nobody wants to really deal with him. Now his wife passed away. And happened to be that this man was living just across the street from us. And I was driving back and forth to church, of course. And the Lord spoke to me, "You need to get Rule to church." Rule was his name. Rudolf, really, but Rule.
need to get to church. I said, yeah, I know. What are you asking from me?
Well, I'm asking you to pick him up and bring to church.
I said, no way.
I'm okay to escort him into sanctuary, but sitting with him 20 minutes, sometimes longer, on the Western Highway was busy. So I don't want to get exposed on all that.
Lord said, that's your assignment.
And I feel that that was not my assignment. Somebody else could do it. I was the priest. I was the senior pastor of the church already at that time. That, Lord, you got to do it. And then there are so many things, you know. I teach him to eat Mac, you know, Big Macs and all that. And there's all kinds. He thought that I am not a spiritual man at all. Sunday night we were headed back, and I said, Rule, I haven't eaten all day long. I've been busy. I need to go to McDonald's to get Big Mac. And he gave me an hour sermon on that, how wrong it is for a preacher to eat Big Mac. I said, well, preach me, but I'm going to eat Big Mac, whatever you say. And I can write a book about our journey, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But finally, this man told me one day we were heading, was before Easter actually, headed back home from Easter services. He said, you're an unbelievable man, Pastor. Well, that's one thing he was wrong. But I know that nobody would offer me a ride in the church, but you did it. You did it. And I said, I had to. I didn't want to rule it. I didn't want it. I had to. Why is that? Jesus himself gave me this assignment to bring into the church. Lord asked me to do this. It didn't feel very good. I didn't feel very good about it, but Lord asked him. When this man died, he gave a chunk of money for the church. And we need it. We were in the middle of renovation of the church. We need it. But that's not the thing. But sometimes assignments that Lord gives us may sound weird and not very pleasant to hear and to commit to it. But if Jesus wants to do something, you better do it. Because there is blessings not just for that person or for that thing and for the church, and there's blessings for you. Three things we need to learn about Jesus' ride on Palm Sunday ride. It is one of fulfillment, submission, fulfilling God's plan, following all the way through, being obedient to God, and making sure that salvation for us will be ready. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship by the ministry of giving. If the ushers can come forward.